Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we wish to begin a new series of studies, which we are going to entitle The Power of God in Our Lives. In Psalm 62, in verse 11, we read, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. When Christ was tried before Pilate, Pilate became impatient with the Lord because he would not speak out in his own defense. And he said, Speakest thou not to me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Here are two men, one a psalmist, and one the judge of our Lord Jesus Christ, both learning that power belongs to God. Now, as we go through this series, we want to explore the different ways that the power of God avails for the redeemed, and perhaps how the unredeemed shut themselves off from God's power. We will consider, first of all, on the broadcast today, the power of God in salvation. It is indeed brought out in the Scriptures as the power of God in saving us. Then in changing us, then in working through us, then in sustaining us, then in establishing us and keeping us, then lastly in translating us home to heaven. In all of these phases of the Christian life, the power of God is manifest through us. And today we wish to consider, first of all, we have to start with salvation. We've got to know the Lord. We're dead in trespasses and sins, as we read in Ephesians 2:1. We've got to know the Lord. We've got to have life before we know the Lord. The problem with the unredeemed is they're dead. Dead in trespasses and sins, separated from God, and death is separation. Spiritual death is also separation. Physical death is separation of the body from the soul and the spirit. Spiritual death is separation from God himself. Death is separation. We need life. We don't need reformation. We need regeneration. And so we'll have to start with salvation. The power of God is manifest in salvation, and I think probably the most wonderful verse in all the Scriptures, which we have referred to frequently on this broadcast in this connection, is Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul says there, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, the power of God. And the power of God was manifest at the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He overcame Satan and all his wiles. You will recall from your studies in the Bible and Genesis, how that Satan came in and drove a wedge between God and man, between God and his creature man. He created man to have dominion over the universe, and Satan had been deposed because of his sin, and Satan drove a wedge between God and man. He introduced sin into the human race. He poisoned us with sin. He caused Eve, to believe his lie. She took of the forbidden fruit and disobeyed God. Disobedience of God is sin. She fell. Adam went right along with her. And then they realized the terrible implications of their act. But God promised Eve that her seed would bruise the head of the serpent, the seed of the serpent would bruise, indeed, his heel. Now, there was a terrible battle going on at the cross. Satan was trying to involve our Lord Jesus Christ in death. You recall that Satan tempted to put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray the Lord. Satan knew that the Jews wanted to kill the Lord. They considered him a menace. They wanted to kill him. He spoke out against their sins. They hated him because he revealed them for what they were. And so, indeed, Satan was responsible for putting our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. But please remember this, Satan engineered his own defeat, because that seeming defeat of the cross was the greatest triumph that God ever accomplished. You know, the scripture says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, the wages of sin for you and for me, when we sin, we earn something. We merit something. We merit death, separation from God. But our Lord Jesus Christ died that you and I might not have to collect the wages. He received the wages of sin, the judgment of sin, himself for you and for me, so we would not have to receive it. Now, the wages of sin is death, but the rest of that verse is lovely. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, because he went to the cross, he died for you and for me. On that cross, we read, of course, in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, verses that we frequently had referred to over this broadcast. Here they are. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel. That is the glad tidings. That's the good news. Christ died for our sins so that he could take us, God could take us to heaven righteously, because sin's debt has been paid by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we wish to speak not only in God's power in preparing salvation for us, but we want to speak of God's power in preparing us for his salvation. Now, we have so much pride, and we have so many ideas. We think that we know how that we can please God. I think that it's natural theology to suppose that to merit the favor of God, I have to do some good works. I have to do some things that will please him, and I can merit salvation through my own works. Well, now, if I could merit salvation through my own works, then God would be my debtor. And God is nobody's debtor. You can't earn salvation. Salvation was purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary through his death for you and for me. He bought us with his precious blood, as we read in Revelation chapter 1. Now, we have to remember that we need to be prepared. We need to be made ready. We need to have our minds conditioned to the point that we are ready to receive what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Now, first of all, I think he blasts away our pride. As a matter of fact, that word power in Romans chapter 1 and 16 is really in the Greek dunamis. Now, that is the same word from which we get our word dynamite. It's the explosive, miraculous power of God. We'll mention the different phases of the power of God in this broadcast, in the series. Now, that miraculous saving power was just like dynamite. And this is what God did to prepare us for his salvation. He blasts away our theories and our philosophies. We read in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, "My thoughts are not your thoughts," the Lord told Isaiah, "neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Now, we need to have our minds conditioned. We need to be made ready to receive God's salvation. Proverbs 14 and 12 tells us, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man." That's natural theology. "But the end thereof are the ways of death." There's only one way, God's way, and that's the right way to be saved. Are we ready to listen? And then it's not very complimentary to remember that in Matthew chapter 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus says there, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" Here's a shocker. and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye cursed. Here is a group of people that thought they knew how to please the Lord. And then he goes on and gives them the parable, the story of the two men that built their houses, one on the sand and one on the solid rock. You know the story. And then he tells them, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. There is the basis of our salvation. Not our thoughts, not our philosophies, but God's word. He blasts away our self-righteousness. All we like sheep have gone astray. We read in Isaiah 64 and 6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and 23. Yes, the power of the gospel will blast away our self-righteousness. It'll blast away our pride. The Apostle Paul said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the cross. That is what I want to boast in. And I think every child of God boasts in the fact that God loved him to the degree that he gave his own son to die for us on the cross of Calvary. Now, God's power in saving us is activated the moment that we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The first chapter of Corinthians blows upon human pride. We think we know so much, and people just forget that God is the source of our salvation. We read in First Corinthians, chapter 1 and verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And that power is available to me and to you the moment that we trust it. The Apostle Paul says, in the next chapter, my speech and preaching was not with man's enticing words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And the Word of God is that which brings us salvation. God tells us he loves us. He tells us if we trust his Christ, his Son, if we place all our faith in him, we will be saved. Are we ready to listen? That's God's way. Now, that's no credit to us. But when we do trust it, we open up that open, we close that circuit, rather, with the power of God, and we are saved. May God help us realize it's not our efforts that saves us, it's what God has done at the cross. Our Father, today, help us to see in this series of studies your willingness to save us. And may many trust the Lord, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.